You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill gaming podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
Hello and welcome to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill video game podcast. Surprise to hear from me on a Friday evening. Definitely not my normal time slot for the show. So as most of you that listen to the show have probably heard by now, there is some big news going in the games industry, and I just had to jump on and talk about it. Big changes at Xbox. Xbox CEO Phil Spencer announced he is retiring effective Monday. Xbox President Sarah Bond has resigned. And yeah, that's a lot to talk about. Now, I don't know if you know this about me, but when I normally record my show every week, it is very practiced. I have lots of notes, lots of details on what I'm going to talk about, very well rehearsed. Tonight's show, not so much. I'm just going to hit record and I'm going to talk. So apologize if I ramble a little bit. But this news broke this afternoon, and first of all, I'm just going to kind of read a little bit from the story over on IGN, and then I'm going to kind of break down how I feel about the news and what this means for Xbox moving forward. So this story, this is by Ryan McCaffrey, like I said, over at IGN, and it reads, Microsoft Gaming CEO Phil Spencer, who has been at Microsoft since he joined as an intern in 1998, and with Xbox since the software giant launched its first console in 2001, is retiring. Sources familiar with the matter, who are not authorized to speak publicly, confirmed to IGN. Spencer's retirement is effective on Monday, February 23rd. Meanwhile, Xbox President Sarah Bond, long thought by many both inside and outside of Microsoft to be Spencer's heir apparent, has resigned. The new CEO of Microsoft Gaming will be Asha Sharma, currently the president of Microsoft's Core AI product. Finally, Xbox Game Studios head Matt Booty is being promoted to Chief Content Officer and will work closely with Sharma. So that is the long and short of it. Now, I am not surprised that Spencer has decided to move on. This seemed like the right year, I guess, to do it. I even talked about in the end of the year episodes that I predicted that he would leave Xbox this year. It's really the timing and how this is all rolling out that I find to be quite surprising. Let's go on and read a little bit some of the emails that were shared. Spencer, in an email to Microsoft staff, said, in part, last fall, I shared with Satya that I was thinking about stepping back and starting the next chapter of my life. From that moment, we aligned on approaching this transition with intention, ensuring stability, and strengthening the foundation we've built. Xbox has always been more than a business. It's a vibrant community of players, creators, and teams who care deeply about what we build and how we build it, and it deserves a thoughtful, deliberate plan for the road ahead. Now, there's a lot to unpack here. Do I think that Spencer was planning on leaving this year and has been thinking about that, maybe discussing it since last year? Yeah, like I said, I think that makes sense. Xbox is in a position where they are looking to reinvent themselves with this next console generation coming up, and it kind of feels like a last ditch effort to really solidify Xbox in the gaming marketplace. And it felt like a move at the top would probably be necessary to have that transition. Now, what happened today? Do I think this was part of the plan? Absolutely not. when someone is planning on retiring, the head of Xbox, something like this big, Phil Spencer, you don't just drop it on a Friday afternoon. You announce it ahead of time. You say, you know, in September, I am planning on stepping down. This will be the transition. This is who's going to be taking my spot. Have a big, you know, this is Xbox's 25th anniversary this year. You know, you have a, you know, a big ticker tape parade and send them off into the sunset. That's what you do. This is not what happened. This abrupt, sudden, hey, by the way, Monday's my last day. And even more telling, Sarah Bond out immediately and not the heir apparent to Phil Spencer, which I think everybody would have probably bet money on that being the case. So what happened behind closed doors that triggered this, or at least fast-forwarded it dramatically, I don't know. You know, Xbox has been in a precarious position for the last two generations. Phil Spencer honestly inherited a hot mess. I think he has done a very admirable job of kind of righting the ship. I think he got Xbox back into a good place, whether or not that was a financially enough successful place for the heads at Microsoft, you know, clearly not. But I do feel like he delivered on number one, saving Xbox, because looking at the beginning of the Xbox One generation, they were circling the toilet drain rapidly, and I think he pulled them out of that. And given that they were being pretty handily beaten by PlayStation and Nintendo, he managed to salvage things and create a way forward for them with Game Pass, with multi-platform releases on PC and PlayStation and all that. So I do think he did a decent job, a good job of doing that. But was it enough for Satya Nadella? It seems like his patience and his checkbook for Xbox maybe reached its limit. Now, as far as Sharma, who is taking over the role, I hadn't heard of her before. I don't know anything about her. She also released an email to staff, and it read in part, going back to the IGN article, "My first job is simple. Understand what makes this work and protect it. That starts with three commitments. First, great games. Everything begins here. We must have great games beloved by players before we do anything. Unforgettable characters, stories that make us feel innovative gameplay and creative excellence. We will empower our studios, invest in iconic franchises, and back bold new ideas. We will take risks. We will enter new categories and markets where we can add real value grounded in what players care about most. I promoted Matt Booty in honor of this commitment. He understands the craft and the challenges of building great games, has led teams that deliver award-winning work, and has earned the trust of game developers across the industry. Second, the return of Xbox." Interesting wording, return of Xbox. "We will recommit to our core Xbox fans and players, those who have invested with us the past 25 years, and to the developers who build the expansive universes and experiences that are embraced by players across the world. We will celebrate our roots with a renewed commitment to Xbox, starting with console, which has shaped who we are. It connects us to the players and fans who invest in Xbox and to the developers who build ambitious experiences for it." Okay, so, you know, that all sounds well and good. Some interesting things there. You know, I think to make a move like this suddenly says to me that they were not happy with the direction of Xbox. So what does that mean? That means they're going to change something. Something is going to change. Now, do they change their multi-platform strategy? Are we going to see them no longer supporting PlayStation or the Switch or even PC? I think anything's possible, especially with PlayStation and Switch. I could see that being pulled back. Do I think that's a smart idea? No, absolutely not. I think it has proven successful to expand their library to all these platforms, but they could change that. Going back to console exclusives, but that didn't work before. You know, that wasn't working. So I don't know that that's a smart strategy. Game Pass, do they get rid of Game Pass? That has been, depending on who you ask, more or less successful than they need it to be. I love Game Pass. I spend a lot of time on Game Pass. I play the majority of the games I play throughout the year. At least half of them are on Game Pass. It is an incredible value still. Even after they jacked the price up, I still feel like I'm getting my money's worth. And if they get rid of that and they just go back to, hey, buy the game, pay the $80, $70, whatever it is now, that's, for me personally, a tough pill to swallow. But again, like, I could see it happening because clearly they are going to make some kind of changes. But I don't know what that is. I really don't know what would be the secret sauce that all of a sudden is going to turn things around the way they apparently want things to turn around. Is there a way to make it, you know, she says in this email, starting with console, what do you do to make an Xbox console your primary focus again? You know, I think we were just getting to that point, and we were with this next console coming up, we were going to see that strategy of, you know, we are going to be a big publisher across all platforms, and we're also going to have this dedicated piece of hardware for those that want it that is probably going to be very high end and is likely going to have PC stores built into it. But it is optional. It is for those of you who want that, and for other people, go buy a desktop PC, get a PlayStation, play the games there if you want. How that changes now, I really, really don't know. Speaking as someone who has been a primarily Xbox gamer since the launch of the 360, that is where I have spent most of my time gaming. That is where most of my money goes. Still to this day, I spend 80% of my gaming time on Xbox consoles because that's where I prefer to play games. That's where I get the most value for my money. Now, as a Xbox customer, do I think this is the beginning of the end for Xbox? I really don't know. I feel like it's a flip of the coin. I feel like it's 50-50. This could be this could be the end. She could come in and clearly not have any idea what consumers want and shutter half the studios that are underperforming. You know, goodbye Ninja Theory, goodbye Double Fine, Compulsion, who knows, you know, and that could just spiral and it could mark the end of Xbox. Is it just as likely that we see a continuation of this trajectory, you know, and the fulfillment of this vision of Xbox as a big publisher, who also happens to have a console? Maybe they don't even do the console. Maybe they just go full publisher. But again, she mentions consoles in the email, so I don't know. I really don't know what to expect. I'm not going to go sell my Xbox tomorrow. I'm not writing an obituary yet. But this is, you know, it's not, it does not fill me with great confidence about the future of Xbox. We're just going to have to wait and see. We're going to have to hear from them. We're going to have to see how the next several weeks and months play out, if they get out and speak to the press and kind of lay out what this vision is, you know, then we'll go from there. Personally speaking, I do wish Phil Spencer well. I always liked and respected him. I thought he had good intentions, even though, if you know, he didn't always make the right moves, and as a CEO he had to make bad decisions, you know, that we didn't like. But as a person, I always respected him, and it made me think back to back in the Twitter days. This was probably, I don't know, six, eight years ago, when he followed me on there, and we ended up DMing back and forth for a little while, and he was telling me that he was a fan of what I was doing, of the show and the writing we were doing, and the perspective of gaming from, you know, older people and parents and that kind of angle of it. And it really was like, I don't know, this sounds corny, this sounds cheesy, but it touched me. It's like, he is the head of Xbox, and he reached out and was like, hey, you're doing really cool stuff, keep it up. And that meant a lot. It gave me a huge boost of confidence in what I was doing and where the site was going. And I will always appreciate that. So I definitely wish the best for him going forward. And with that, I'm going to end the show. Thank you for tuning into a special emergency podcast. That's a ridiculous concept, but I do appreciate you listening, and I'll be back next Thursday for our regular episode. Have a great weekend, everybody.